We're continuing our study of achieving an alien mentality. Achieving an alien mentality. The Lord has really been on me about this, and He wants us to come back and revisit this and go over this. He will not let me move on from this. So we need to really get this. We really need to get this. So I'm asking, Father God, that we have ears to hear and that we will hear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God wants us to get this. Us. That's me included. And that's a dramatic pause on purpose. He wants us to get this. We are aliens. We are foreigners. We are strangers here. It's one thing to hear it and, you know, maybe roll and rock with it for a week or so. But then it's not mentioned, it's not heard, we're not meditating on it, and we're kind of right back to the same old thinking. That we are of this world. We're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We are aliens. We are foreigners. We are strangers. We are temporary residents. We are exiles. I want y'all to hear that. Let's turn to two openings. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and then 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter 1 and 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens. Listen to the greeting to the people of God. This is his greeting. To those who reside as aliens. Could have said brothers, sisters, saints. Many words he could have chosen. But the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, chose the word aliens as he is addressing the people of God. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You don't become an alien just because you wake up one day and say, I just want to be an alien. You are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He's chosen you personally, sovereignly, providentially, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Notice you could have just said you've been chosen by the Spirit. But look at the phrase sanctifying work, and we'll get into this more. And that's why we really want to work on this. Why did he mention that? You aren't an alien just to be different, to be weird, to be peculiar. You're an alien because God has chosen you to be an alien. Why? To be sanctified, to live a sanctified, set apart, holy life. And that's done by the Holy Spirit. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. You're going to need grace and peace on you in the fullest measure to pull this off. Look at our second opening, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens, and then he asks the word, adds the word, and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. He asks the word strangers, alien and stranger, but then he tells us, you're an alien, you're a stranger, here's a sanctifying work, abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Are you getting a picture that an alien or stranger, a foreigner, is one who is designed to live differently from the world? That means your thinking, your speaking, and your doing is completely different. And we're not talking about different as in, you know, for example, like Einstein came up with the theory of relativity. E equals mc squared. No one had thought of that before. He discovered something there. Of course, he don't discover a God that already had an existence, of course. So he thought differently. He saw things differently. That's not what the Word of God is talking about. For in that case, people who looked at things differently and invented various things, they were different thinkers. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about being different as in obeying the Word of God, thinking the Word of God, meditating the Word of God, letting it affect our speech and our actions. Let's define alien again. Alien literally means what? You should know that by now. Yeah, alongside the house. Alongside the house. Person, this word came to denote any person who lives in a country not their own. They live in a place without the right of citizenship and is therefore a foreigner. Let that sink in, Father God, please. We are foreigners. We are not citizens here. I'm not saying that as black people, I'm saying that as Christians. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. This entire world, not this country, this entire world, we are aliens. And some of us need to think about that one too. If you're over in Africa, you're still an alien because Africa is on this earth. Amen. I'm saying meditate, think. Holy Spirit, cause us to think. As Christians, we ought to be thinking people. Think, meditate, think. Let the Word of God wash through our minds. Meditate this. Let this become a part of our daily lives, our all day thinking. Walk around with quote unquote scripture glasses on so that through those lenses of scripture you interpret the entire world. Everything you think and hear and see, you're interpreting it through scripture. You don't get to that point unless you are constantly thinking and meditating the Word of God. We're not just foreigners and strangers in because we're in America, but anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. This is not our own. There is no right of citizenship, no matter what country we live in. We are a foreigner. Christians do not belong to this world, to this world system. We do not belong to this world system as a Christian. But we do live alongside those who do. And therein is the term, alongside the house. Those who are of this world are in the house. We are alongside. Then there's the term strangers. Strangers is one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. Same concept. We're residing there by the side of the natives. And so We are strangers sojourning in a strange place. This place, Father God, is not strange enough to us. Help it to get there. Strange place, foreigners. We're alien, foreigners, strangers. Why? Very simply put, because we are instructed by the Word of God, and we're not instructed by the whims and capricious thoughts and philosophies of man. The Word of God instructs us, teaches us. We're taught by the Word of God. We're controlled by the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. The natives don't. Those inside the house do not. And since we are controlled and taught and instructed and live by the Word of God, then we are foreigners. Because when those who don't live by that, we look weird to them. We are other than to them. We live in holy, which is other than. And it should be obvious. Our conduct, our behavior, our speech should be offensive to others. It should be offensive to others. I know that we don't like to offend other people. It's just kind of in our nature. We don't like to offend, and we don't like to be thought ill of. But as a Christian, that is going to happen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, but we preach Christ. Now we know we're talking about Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Corinth, saying we preach Christ, but then you can put us in there too. We as Christians preach Christ crucified. Now listen to the response. When we preach Christ crucified, and I'm going to add, when we live Christ crucified, when that's our behavior, comma, to the Jews, it is a stumbling block. That word in the Greek means, again, scandalon. That's anything that causes displeasure, that arouses prejudice, that causes folks to be offended. When you live right, when you preach right, when you talk right concerning the Word of God, people are going to be offended. Get used to offense. Jesus said offenses must come. They're going to come. Be prepared. Don't back off. Because folks are looking at you crazy. Don't become intimidated by their looks. He said it's a stumbling block. It's a scandal. It's scandalous to the Jews and to the Gentiles. It's just foolishness, silly, It's absurd. It's nonsense. Going back to the word scandalon, scandalous means shocking, outrageous, reprehensible, wicked, and appalling. They don't like it. They don't like it. We are so addicted to approval. We taught on this years ago down in the basement. Tell the fellow this. We're so addicted to approval that we'll compromise the word of God just not to offend anybody. So that you can like me and approve of me. And I don't like when you disapprove of me. Like I told a fellow last night, if you obey the word of God, you're good. Because God has approved of you.
Amen.
Regardless of what mankind says, makes no difference. Amen. That's why I've been saying this for years. It takes a gangster to truly live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it takes a gangster to like, man, I don't care what you think about me. That's a certain type of thick skin that we must develop as Christians. If I'm obeying God and it offends you, then you're going to be offended. Because you're going to always come in second. Yes, we are to speak the truth in love. Yes, we are. But you can speak the truth in love and still offend people. You follow what I'm saying? And as you well know, you don't have to say a word. Just live right. And that offends people. Why? Because to those that are without, it's a stumbling block. It's scandalous. It's outrageous. It's reprehensible. I don't like him. I don't like her. They get on my nerves. Always talking about that Jesus stuff. That's a high compliment. That's high praise. And accepted as that. Not like, oh man, let me back down. I don't want them talking about me like that. Nope, let them talk about you. Especially if they're saying those things. Better to say that than to lie. And you call yourself a Christian. That's the line you don't ever want to hear from a sinner. In all seriousness. That line, don't ever want to hear. Because that means you're not living right. And so it is to be a stumbling block. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, go back there. Verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And by the way, when you back off of offense and when you back away from things because you may be talked about and you may be, you know, looked at strange and funny and people ostracize you, are we better than Christ Jesus? Was he not all day long? He went into the house of sinners where God sent him, and they said, he's a drunkard. He's an alcoholic. Jesus said, don't marvel at that the world hates you. They hated me. Know that it hated me before it hated you. So, let's join the battle. They did it to Jesus. I ain't better than Jesus, so they did it to him. I know. What I'm saying is expect it. That's the point I'm making. Expect it. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve. The stone which the builders rejected has this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He's talking about Jesus, who, quote unquote, the builders, those who that he came for, they rejected him. Why? Because Jesus became the very corner, that's Jesus, and he became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. To stumble, we just read that scandalon. Offense means to give offense, to cause displeasure, to be annoyed or outraged and enraged. They became annoyed, outraged, and enraged with Jesus.
with Stephen. Right? What happened to Stephen as he was preaching the word of God? They stopped up their ears. Like children.
Yeah, thank you. Take clear all of that, yeah.
They stopped up their ears. You're preaching the word of God. And suddenly the congregation stops up their ears. And they're so enraged that they begin to grit their teeth, grind their teeth. And then they run into one accord and stone you to death for preaching the gospel. Come on, Word of Life. Come on now. Let's not wimp out when it comes to doing things God's way.
Amen.
I'm just trying to put you in that frame. Stephen standing here preaching the word of God, and people become so enraged, they stop their ears. I want to hear no more. They were greatly offended. It became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And again, that means to become annoyed or enraged, to experience displeasure. In that case, they experienced great displeasure. They were outraged and enraged to the point of murder. And it tells you why at the end of verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. He said, because they are disobedient to the word. To the what? The word, which is the source of their stumbling and their being offended. The word is a source of that. When you speak the word, when you obey the word, you're going to offend the world. They will not be your friend. And that's okay. Family, close friends, co-workers, associates, and distant folk. Let's develop thick skin. Let them be offended. Many moons ago, we're still reviewing, we talked about, as a result of being an alien, how are we to live? How are we to live? Remember, we're not alien just to be different. You're alien to live a set apart, sanctified, different, other than life. That means the way you think, the way you speak, and what you do, or the way you act, are to be distinctly and clearly different from the rest of the world. An alien in movies is a being, a creature, who is completely different from humans. That's to be us. Think about those sci-fi movies. Especially the ones back in the day where they didn't know how to make, they look really crazy. We're to be that different, that other than. Two words for that, holy and sanctification. How are we to live? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Go to verse 11. And I really want to focus on actually let's just hold on for a minute. Just listen up for a minute. It's aliens, how are we to live? But before we get to that, I want to go ahead first and ask this question. As aliens, how are we to think? Because our thinking influences our doing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let's flip the script a bit and let's ask the question. We haven't gone over this part yet. As aliens, how are we to think? Because the problem with us
with Christians throughout the entire world is that we have not developed a biblical worldview. It's fragmented at best. We have pieces, we believe pieces of the world, of looking, you know, there, in other words,
keep it in the little parable of glasses. So you have your scripture lens, your scripture glasses, and you put them on for this situation, and you look at the situation through the lens of scripture. Great. But then too many times we take it off, and now we're looking back at things just like every other human. Too many times our scripture glasses are too often, all too often, folded in the case and stuck in our vest pocket. They're left there too often. And we are left seeing events in the world as they unfold through human secular eyes. And therefore, our interpretation, how we feel about it, is strictly human and secular. Not biblical, scriptural, Holy Spirit-led, not at all. That only happens when the event happens, you pull out, and then what I'm hoping we get to the point is that you keep them on 24/7. That's the goal, to keep your scripture glasses on. But at least, if we don't, at least you got them off for whatever reason. But a big event happens, pull it out, put them on, interpret that event through scripture. So as aliens, how are we to think? Well, the short answer is, and we'll break it down, the short answer is we need to think other than the way the world thinks. We need to not think and interpret the world secularly, humanly, as a secular humanist would. We ought to interpret the world as God sees the world, which is through scripture. We ought to think other than, we ought to think different than, separate and apart from, distinctly different than the world. Why? Here it is again, we said it earlier. Let it make sense again. We ought to think differently. No. Remember, we asked the question, as aliens, how are we to think? And another way of phrasing that is, what is the mindset / what is the attitude of an alien? What is the mindset? What is the attitude? How are we to think as aliens? We're going to be different. We said it earlier, because we are, you get it, instructed by the Word of God. Because we are taught the Word of God. Because as aliens, we are controlled by the Word of God. Meaning we live by the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When we live like that, then we're going to think differently. We're going to speak differently. We're going to maybe sound a little strange to others. I have here in my notes, as a result of being controlled by the Word of God, living by the Word of God, being instructed by the Word of God, taught the Word of God, as a result of that, our minds, comma, our worldviews, comma, our perspectives, our minds, our worldviews, and our perspectives are shaped in a way that is completely and distinctly different to that of the world. And what I did with the word different, of course, you're going to get them synonyms. Our minds, worldviews, and perspectives are shaped in a way that is completely and distinctly different, contradictory, unusual, opposite, and irreconcilable to that of the world. You cannot reconcile secular humanistic thinking with scriptural biblical thinking. They're not going to reconcile. They're not going to fit.
It's opposite. And I want to challenge you. Do you feel that your thinking, for the most part, concerning economics, concerning politics, concerning whatever, is it different than the world's? Is it contradictory to the world? Is it unusual? Is it opposite that of the world? Is it irreconcilable to that of the world? In other words, our living, what does living consist of? Thinking, speaking, and doing. Our living to the world seems completely foreign, alien, and strange. Completely foreign, alien. In other words, our living, thinking, speaking, and doing, to the world, to everybody else out here, is, to them, seems completely foreign, different, and strange. Again, you must dare to accept being looked at as being strange, weird, peculiar. And I'm saying, by the power of God, embrace it. Because that's what the Word of God said is going to happen. That's a good thing not to be accepted. It's a good thing to be disapproved of for Christ's sake. I got to stress that. For Christ's sake. Because you're obeying the Word. Be disapproved of. So what? And if anybody knows about disapproval, a pastor who's preaching reform is going to know about disapproval. I can major in telling you about disapproval. I am regularly misunderstood, evil spoken of regularly. Amen. I embrace it. And I say, I must be doing something right. Because I know I'm teaching the Word of God. When you tell me you're too strict, you tell me I'm brainwashing. All you doing in that back in the basement. All you doing in that basement is brainwashing people. Yep. Guilty. Because I'm teaching the Word of God. Brainwashing in the sense that we're talking about is called in Romans 12, 2, renovating. Mind renewal. What you do, saints of God, just make sure you teach the Word. Make sure you're living the Word. Make sure you're speaking the Word. Make sure you're doing it. Thinking it, speaking it, doing it, don't worry about the rest. God has approved of you. And that's all you need. Let the other 7 billion people disapprove of you. But if God approves of you, that's all you need. Word of God said, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. So, question is, how are we to think? What ought to be our mindset? What ought to be our attitude as an alien? And the answer to that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's turn there. First Corinthians chapter 2, 1. We're going to start with the first verse. First Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And what I want to do, We will probably take the rest of the time going through this chapter, the entire chapter. Verse 1. And when I came to you, Apostle Paul is speaking, the church at Corinth, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom. In other words, I didn't come with a whole lot of erudite and scholarly words, big words, trying to impress as orators tend to do. Just keep it plain. I thank God my delivery is a bit folksy. Some may say ghetto, but it's easy to be understood because that's what it's about. I'm not trying to impress. I'm trying to get this across so that you can understand it and we can go out here and live it and then teach it to others. Period. It's not about scholarship. So he says, I didn't come with all that. Proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing, verse 2, among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. As Phyllis said, amen. Keep it simple. As one of the preachers that professors out at Grace Community, the Master's College, rather, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is Christ. Not how I can orate. How many big words can I use to impress you, you know, with my background. Fooey on all that. Look at verse 3. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching was not in persuasive words of wisdom. There it is again. The Amplified says, not in enticing and plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, God can use the Holy Spirit to touch your hearts and mind with just plain layman's speech. Why? Verse 5. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Some translations have, so your faith would not be on the in the wisdom of men, or rest, or be in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. If I come up here speaking all these long words and everything, some of you may be impressed and look at me. Then the main thing, then I become the main thing, and I'm not the main. You see what I'm saying? The main thing is Christ. Since he's the main thing, keep that the main thing. Love Apostle Paul. And he validates the way I teach. Down to earth, plain. Verse 6, yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are, I'm sorry, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Now, I want you to understand something. Apostle Paul is saying, this wisdom, okay, wait a minute. What is the question we're answering? As an alien, what ought to be our mindset? How are we to think? Okay? We're in this portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 to answer that question. Okay, so the short answer is we're to think as the Word of God shapes us to think. Does that make sense? All right, having said that, how can you think as the Word of God would have you to think? Well, then you must be told what the Word of God and taught what the Word of God says. Then you can begin to line your thinking up with them. I know that's real simplistic, but that's how that works. So we're going here to really talk about, in a sense, the development of how an alien develops a Christian worldview and get understanding why we will appear so foreign and weird to the world. Because they will not be able to understand what you're saying. Okay? So, and we're going to get in that. They won't be able to understand what you're saying. So therefore, because they can't understand what you're saying, because you're speaking the word of God, then you are going to appear foreign to them. It's going to be weird. Because they cannot understand. All right, that's the setup. Look at verse 6 again. Having said that, he said, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, who are full grown spiritually speaking. However, a wisdom, comma, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. This wisdom is not of this world, this age, this world. And notice he says, nor of the rulers of this age. Who is that? Those in charge. Presidents, governors, government, kings, sheiks, the ones in charge. They're not going to get it. So two things I want you to get from just this one part of the verse, that the wisdom that is not of this world, neither are the rulers of this world. So you're never going to hear the rulers of this world speak the word of God and understand the word of God, for the most part. You're not going to have, as a prevailing understanding throughout the world, the word of God. That's not the wisdom, because it's not of this world. This is not of this world. So they're not going to ever get it. Secondly, I want you to understand, if that's why you should never line your thinking up with the world. Does that make sense? Since they can't get it and they'll never get it, then whenever you line your thinking up with them, it's going to be unbiblical, unscriptural, unholy, ungodly. Because you just aligned yourself up with a wisdom that is of the world, which cannot be the word of God because it's not of the world. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's a great setup for why we're aliens. Your wisdom is completely different. They don't get it. Let's keep reading. He said, but we speak God's wisdom, that's what the wisdom is, in a mystery. And by the way, the word mystery is simply, it's a knowledge and understanding about something that's previously hidden and unknown, and eventually it is revealed to us by God. Okay, you understand that? So a mystery is that which is previously hidden, unknown. Hidden means away from our understanding. It's unknown and only revealed to us by God. So in verse 7, he says, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. In other words, God purposely hides this wisdom from the world. They can't get it. Anybody know why? 2 Corinthians 4:4, because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. They can't get it. I really want you to understand, it is a dangerous thing as a Christian, and it is blasphemous and dishonoring to God when we line up our thinking with the world's. And what a shame to do that. Because here we are, we've been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, as Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And we take that, throw it away, and agree with the world on and just see the world through various things. Who do not have the wisdom, as Paul said in verse 7. We speak the wisdom, God's wisdom. Isn't that something? We actually have God's wisdom. Father God, help us to get that. And we throw God's wisdom, set it aside, and try to interpret the world through man's wisdom, which is earthly, sensual, demonic. I didn't say that. James did. The Holy Spirit through James. God's wisdom is from above. He said, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our, in other words, he predestined, look at this, before the ages, so this is in eternity past, God predestined that you and I would know this wisdom. That's really something. Verse 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. Wow. You know, that verse is often misquoted in churches. No, I have not seen, ear has not heard, nor in the heart of man what God has done. Then we stop right there. But God revealed it to us. Mm-hmm. No, it's like it's beyond our realm of understanding. It is if God doesn't reveal it. But now we can understand that. What the eye has not seen, what the ear has not heard, what has not entered into the heart of man to be understood. This is so fantastic. It's so beyond that you have to have supernatural help to understand this. You know what? Us understanding the scriptures, we take that for granted. That's why your cousin can't get it, your nephews, your sons, and your daughters, and your husbands. That's why they can't. Yeah, that's foolishness. It's a stumbling block. It's scandalous. Man, anybody want to hear that? I think it was Terry Bradshaw was thanking God for the Super Bowl win back in 1980, I think it was. And one reporter shouted, man, nobody want to hear that. And he shouted out. But that's the proper response. Does that make sense? That's the proper response. I don't want to hear that. Talk to a black man about it, the wrong type of black man. Oh man, you believe in that white stuff? The lion and Malcolm X standing outside one of the temples in Harlem, as he was recruiting people to the temple. Says, sister, come on down here. I know you're on your way to that church. You believing in a blonde haired, blue eyed Jesus? Remember that line? Blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus. And black folk just go for it. Black folk go for things like the Christianity, the white man's religion. Talk to the dean of students. Well, don't you know how to use Christianity to subdue the slaves? I said, Dean, let me ask you a question. You remember took the car and went up on the sidewalk and plow through and kill people? Are you gonna not drive cars anymore because the car was misused to kill people? Does that make the car bad? Are you going to stop using wood because wood was the material used as the handle? Are you going to stop using iron because that was what was forged to be crammed on top of that wood to form a hammer? And are you going to stop using some other type of metal because they sharpened them into nails and killed the Son of Glory? That's a misuse of those objects. Hammers are still good. Cars are still good. So is the Bible. It was misused to keep slaves, to try to justify slavery. It was misused, black man. Jesus was born in the Middle East. He doesn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. That is earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom. And when you hear it, you need to be ready to give an answer toward that. Just as I spoke to the dean, and he said, yeah, I guess I never thought about that. That's a misuse of the word of God. And the black man misuses it too to keep Christians doing things. Black preachers. Have anybody heard of Reverend Ike? Have anybody heard of the prosperity movement? This wisdom is that's from God that we've been privileged to understand. We need to take advantage of it. Put on our scripture glasses with that precious wisdom and see the world as God sees it. We're just getting started in this. I want to finish this. Lord willing, we'll pick this up next week. Father God, I'm begging of you for us to put on and keep on our scripture glasses so that we may see through those lens the world and its events and interpret them through your scripture, through the lens of scripture, through your word. Help us not to get caught up in this world, to be afraid of being a scandal for Christ's sake. I'm going to say it like that. To be offensive, to be one that causes people to stumble, to be reprehensible, for folk to hate our guts because we're obeying your word. Help us to be gangsters, spiritual gangsters for you. In other words, mature Christians who don't care what people think about us as long as we're doing your will. We will not compromise your glory for our comfort.
Amen.
We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.